So what type of therapy did you discuss and actually use with her post-op?
So at the time that she was treated, certainly carboplatin and paclitaxel was standard. The variations on that included the following. There's a Japanese gynecologic oncology group study that showed instead of giving the paclitaxel every 3 weeks, if you give it weekly, that those patients seem to do better than the Q3 weekly. This was a study of about 300 patients. Most of us, including myself, consider it a small study. And on the basis of that and the fact that it was a Japanese population, a lot of us had some concerns about whether this is an acceptable regimen. And that's true for me. I don't use much dose dense. The few times I've used it, I've seen myelosuppression and some neuropathy. But that's still out there as an option, and it was discussed. And then the third option, which really I don't think it was a practical option, but it came up, is that bevacizumab had been brought up in upfront therapy, both by GOG-218 and ICON-7, given concurrently and then in maintenance. In both of those studies, there was a prolongation of progression-free survival anywhere from 2.5 months to about 4.1 months, but no difference in overall survival. The reason I say that though we discussed it, we didn't push it, is because the FDA has not approved this, because it was only a PFS difference and not an OS difference. And as such, insurance coverage is a patchwork effect across the United States. And in Massachusetts, we can't really get insurance companies to pay for it. So she ended up getting standard carboplatin and paclitaxel.
And what about intraperitoneal therapy? Was that discussed?
So that's very interesting. So it was minimally discussed. And the reason is the following. IP therapy has been around for quite some time. There are at least three randomized studies showing that IP therapy provides a survival advantage compared to IV therapy. You would think on that basis alone, including the last study, which was published in New England Journal, it should be used ubiquitously. It never has. And the reason is that if you look at the last study, GOG-172, published in New England Journal, approximately 50%, 60% of the patients couldn't finish the regimen. They had to come off the trial or they had to stop the IP therapy because of pain, catheter infections, catheter problems. So it's a technically intense approach. And so what has happened to IP therapy is it comes down to whether you're a fan or not. It's used in sort of a stochastic way across the country. At Mass General, there's one or two surgeons who use a lot of IP or have a lot of IP.
So she actually ended up going on a trial.
So we had a single-arm phase 2 trial, which used fairly standard combinations of paclitaxel with carboplatin. The bevacizumab was added to the regimen at the time because of the evolving data from 218 and ICON-7. So she got that.
And just going back to what you were saying, though, about using Bev up front, do I take it from what you're saying that if you could, there are situations where you'd like to use it up front, except you can't because of reimbursement?
Yeah, so I've been a big fan of 218 ICON-7. I think that it's an angiogenic tumor. The PFS prolongation, I think, is real. It's been now shown in two major studies. And what confounds this is the fact that there's no difference in overall survival. And I think you can explain that, particularly on GOG-218, in that there was a substantial number of patients that crossed over. So after they finished the trial, if they got placebo instead of bevacizumab, sometime later in their course, they were given bevacizumab as standard of care. That muddies the OS endpoint, the overall survival endpoint. I consider 218 a positive trial. It's a very tolerable regimen. I never had a patient come off of bevacizumab because of hypertension or proteinuria. So if we could get it, I'd be using it.
And would you use it also as maintenance therapy?
Yes. So if you look at 218, there are three arms, control arm, carboplatin to paclitaxel, a concurrent Bev arm that added Bev to the chemo. And then when they finished, those patients were treated with placebo as maintenance. And then a third arm, which had both concurrent and maintenance Bev. That was the only arm that showed an advantage. So I think if you are going to give Bev up front, you give it during chemo, not during the first cycle because of the surgery, but during the rest of the chemo, and then you maintain it for at least 15 months, which is what 218 did. Now, we could discuss, based upon other studies, patients may actually benefit from getting that drug until progression or longer. And we may know have more information on that. There's a study in AGO, which is a German group, that is comparing 15 months upfront, just like 218, 15 months to 30 months. And that data should be out next year.
So this lady got paclitaxel, carbo, and Bev, and she got Bev maintenance also?
Correct.